Actually, Pastor Rob sent his first gift to me the other day on a text message. I was very impressed. You know the gifts, like the animated pictures? It was Taylor Swift giving a thumbs up like this. I was like, it's a new day. God's doing a new thing. Praise the Lord. So here are some memes. These are called, some of you might have seen them floating around the internet. This is woke Jesus. Things that Jesus never said. Things Jesus never said. Woke Jesus. Here we go. What's the first one? No one comes to the Father except through me. But that's my opinion, and all other opinions are equally valid. Another thing that Jesus never said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, but never make anyone feel uncomfortable. As we know, Jesus made many people feel uncomfortable. That's another one. The kingdom of God is within socialism. Heresy, Pastor Rob says. Jesus didn't say it. Last one. After I ascend it into heaven, the church will become apostate. And when the internet appears 2,000 years from now, people will slowly begin to understand what I was trying to say all along. Talking about people's new revelations and whatnot. That's woke Jesus. I love a bit of woke Jesus. Let's go back to praise over problems for the sermon today. Why don't we pray to get into it this morning? Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your spirit in the room. Lord, I thank you that we can rest and receive by the grace of God. We can hear your voice this morning. By the grace of God, we can gather together in unity. Lord, I pray, my prayer today is that we would all in this place walk out of this building this morning with a greater sense of gratitude, with a greater awareness of your presence. May that gratitude take us deeper into your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Have you ever met someone that just always seems to be smiling? It's like they never have, it looks like they never have any problems going on. Or maybe you've met someone and they're the type of person that in the midst of chaos, they're so ridiculously calm and you just wish they would show a little bit of anxiety or break a little bit because it makes you feel uncomfortable how calm they are. Have you ever met someone like that? Not many people, okay? Have you ever met someone that just seems to carry this joy? Or maybe months later, you speak to this person and you find out that they were going through hell only a couple of months ago and you had no idea because they remained strong through the midst of it and you never even saw them cave in. I think as Christians, we ought not to be fake and put on a facade of everything's okay, but I do think there is a supernatural strength that we can have in the midst of storms, in the midst of troubles, where people go, scratch their head and say, what is with that person? They just don't cave in. They're just not broken. Like, there's something about them that gives them strength. There's something, they have this energy and they just keep going and they don't quit this. What is it about them? And I think a lot of that, in fact, some of the most successful people in the world, I love to read and study about people that have achieved great things, especially in the church and for the kingdom, but also in the world. A lot of people that have achieved great and mighty things that haven't quitted, they haven't given up, they carry this virtue of gratitude. It's amazing, of thankfulness, of gratitude. They practice it daily. And it keeps them in this positive state of being where they don't see the negativity around them, but maybe they notice it, but their gratitude supersedes it. In a Christian sense, I would call that praise over problems. You know, praise over problems doesn't mean that I ignore all my problems, act as if they don't exist, and praise God in spite of them. That is not what praise over problems means. Praise over problems means as I'm praising Him, I actually lift my spirit up higher than the problems that are on the earth. The Bible says that you and I are seated with Christ in where? Do you think heavenly places sits above earthly problems? Absolutely. Praise over problems is about us lifting our spirits up into Christ that we would supersede the things in the natural order, that we would supersede the things on earth that might be attacking us or bothering us or bringing us down. You know, the majority of the problems that I've had in the last 5 years, not many of them have been spiritual. A lot of them have been really earthly problems. I think it's important for every Christian to learn, if you want to walk in the victory of Christ, you need to fight battles above. You need to fight from heavenly places, seated in Christ, with an awareness that you have been washed by the blood, with an awareness that you are set free, that you are seated with Him, that you are together, one with Christ. And when you speak, you're speaking with the authority that Jesus spoke with. From that place is where we deal with the problems on earth. Amen? So we're going to talk about how to get there this morning. I want to say, like, with saying that, it is okay to feel emotional. It is okay to feel pain, to feel struggle. In fact, you need it. Like, I need it. I would not be who I am today. You would not be who you are today without pain and struggle in your life. It's pruned us. It's shaped us. It's molded us. In fact, you know, people that don't grow are those people who ignore their problems, try and act as if they don't exist, try not to think those thoughts and those questions that are coming to them, and they wait and they wait and they wait, and they have it at a young age. They have these problems and questions come through their mind, and then by the time they reach that middle age, they have a midlife crisis because they never actually address the emotions they were feeling on the inside. It's important that we actually do feel. God created us with emotions for a reason. Our emotions can be used to connect with God. He created us with pain and struggle. That's around us. It shapes us. It prunes us. So we need to feel it. We need to embrace it. And with that, we take it into heavenly places and we lay it before the King. We take it into the courts. All right? Let's look at a scripture. I love this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18, it says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I see this sort of scripture as an invitation. I see it as an invitation from the Father to say, hey, even in the midst of your mess, I'm inviting you to rejoice always. Even in the midst of chaos around you, there is a place where you can come in to thanksgiving and gratitude into my presence. This is an awesome invitation. Let's turn. We're going to read a bit of a story this morning from John chapter 1. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, I'm going to pull it up here. John chapter 1, verses 43. We do this thing at youth where when we call out a scripture, all the youth go, whoa! It's really fun. Do you want to try it? Okay. Goes like this. I say John, and then you like a little bit get excited. You go, whoa. And then I say chapter 1, and you go, whoa. And then I say verse 43, and everyone goes, whoa! So all of our youth can help you lead this, but today we're going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 43. Awesome. We're never doing that again. Maybe we will. I'll talk to Pastor Rob after if he liked it or not. This is what it says. This is the story of Jesus calling Philip and Nathanael. It says this in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to Nathanael, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, well, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know me, Jesus? And Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I don't think Jesus was a peeping Tom. I don't think Jesus was spying on him. Jesus still saw him. Nathanael answered, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And like a very exaggerated response. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, now you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you, Nathanael, will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I want to highlight verse 48, and I'll have that one on the screens. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were still under the fig tree." Something we learned about in Bible college is that when you want to discover a deeper meaning of a word, is you use this the rule of first mention. And the rule of first mention means you'd go back into the Bible. These days we just look it up on Google, and you find the first time a word is actually mentioned. When I read this, I thought, why did Jesus say, "I saw you under the fig tree"? Why didn't he just say, "I saw you under the tree"? Why did he mention it's a fig tree? In fact, fig trees pop up all over the Bible. What's so significant about a fig tree? Why didn't he just say, "I saw you under the tree"? And so I decided to go back in the Bible and find these trees and find out where the first time a fig tree pops up. And this is what I found. The first mention of a fig tree in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. It was the third tree spoken about in Genesis. The first tree was the tree of life. The second tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represented independence apart from God. Judging for yourself apart from God, that's what Adam and Eve took of. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose independence. They chose to disobey what God was saying, and they chose separation. God didn't choose it. But then the third tree was the fig tree. Do you know what the fig tree was used for? It was what Adam and Eve covered themselves with after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, after they had sinned and disobeyed God and chose to do things their own way. They recognized their nakedness. They recognized their sin. They recognized all of their insecurities, all of their problems came rushing over them, and they were so scared and ashamed, and they ran and they picked leaves off of a fig tree and they covered themselves with them. I found that super interesting. And I also thank God that fashion has progressed since that day. I'm thankful for cotton, because nobody wants to see Ben Patterson walking into church with fig leaves. Praise the Lord, fashion has progressed since then. One of the biggest struggles Christians go through, humanity goes through, is that when it comes to prayer, we feel that we're not worthy to stand before God. And the truth is, there's nothing you can do to make yourself better. But oftentimes when we come before God in prayer, or when we need to pray, or when we really need Him, or maybe even when you come up to worship, you don't feel worthy to lift your hands, or you don't feel worthy to pray. You don't feel like God hears your prayers. And we think, well, because I didn't read my Bible this week, I didn't really pray this week, I didn't do this or that, or do the Christian thing, or I really flipped that guy off in traffic, you know, that was terrible, like I did these things wrong. And we feel like we're not worthy to stand before God. That's one of the biggest problems and the limitations that people have when it comes to prayer. And we see this with Adam and Eve clothing themselves, feeling like they're not worthy to be seen by God. No one told them, "You're no good, you need to cover yourself up now." No one told them, "You should be ashamed of yourself for what you've done." But they said it to themselves. And so do you. We always are saying to ourselves, "I should be ashamed," or "I'm not worthy," or "I can't come before Him." But when Jesus says to Nathanael, "I see you under the fig tree," I hear Him saying, "I see you under the surface, behind your hiding. I see the real you. I see your mess. I see your struggle. I see what you did last week. I see what you did today. I can see you in a way that nobody else sees you, and I'm still inviting you to follow me. I'm still inviting you to follow me." I hear the Lord saying this morning, "I see you under the fig tree, under the mask that you're wearing, under the smile that you put on your face just to get yourself through the doors this morning. I see you, and I'm still inviting you to follow me. There's another time in the Bible where we hear about the story of Jacob. And this has to do with the scripture we read earlier. But Jacob had an amazing encounter with God. When Jacob, he was seeking the Lord and wanting answers and wanting to know his next steps. And Jacob ended up going to sleep one night. And the Bible said that he laid his head on the rock. And then he went into this crazy encounter, this experience with God. And this is what happened, is as Jacob laid his head on the rock represents, everything in the Old Testament is a representation of what's to happen in the new. And we know that Jesus is the rock. He is the cornerstone. So as Jacob laid his head on the rock, he rested on the salvation of Christ. In a place of rest in Christ, he began to see things unfold. He saw a staircase going up to heaven. And he saw angels walking up and down, ascending and descending. He saw the kingdom of God coming. And he saw things going back up. He saw a bridge between heaven and earth. And I believe that for me, I see that as a metaphor. That as you and I come into a place of rest in Christ, as we lay our head on the rock of salvation, as we rest in His works, not our own, as we rest in His blood, not our own striving, as we lay our head on that revelation of Christ, we too can have these encounters with God. Let's see, what we just read before was John chapter 1. That's where Jesus calls Nathanael. And this is how it ends. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation we've already read it in another version. The Passion Translation of John 1:51 says this. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you underneath the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is bringing it up again. Let's see it in the Amplified Version. It says this. Then he said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, who is the bridge between heaven and earth." The only reason, the only way it is possible for you to supersede the natural order, for you to actually come out from underneath problems, for you to actually come out from underneath anxiety and depression, for you to actually come out underneath the trapped feeling that you might feel on the inside, or maybe enclosed by your mind, or maybe tormented by your thoughts, the way you ascend is in Christ. The way we ascend is in Christ. He is the bridge. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. There is nothing you can do. Every religion in the world, they try and create this ladder to climb up and get to God. They try and create pyramids or big buildings to try and ascend and get higher above the natural order. But Jesus is the one who climbed down the ladder to get to us. And then he said, "Come on up. Come on in. Be seated with me." One of the greatest prayers Jesus prayed that's recorded is he said, "Father, just as you and I are one, I pray that they would be one and that they would be one with me." He is the answer. He is the door to salvation and he's the prize when you walk in. He's the gates to heaven and he is the feeling of heaven itself. He is the person that greets you, but also the person that embraces you. He is the prize. He is the bridge, but he is also the reward. He is the only way in. If you can believe that God sees the real you, the brokenness and the mess, and he still invites you to follow him, and you believe that he is merciful, then you too will see Jesus as your doorway into the substance of life, into the courts of heaven. If you have faith in the grace of the Lord, that it's not by your works, but by his, then he would position you in a place of right standing with him, in a place of righteousness. Then you can enjoy the treasures of heaven with Christ here and now. That the kingdom of God would come through you. That Jesus could say of you, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Because Christ is that doorway for you to experience life. When Jesus died, it was said that there was an earthquake and the veil at the temple was torn in two. Within the same hour, we know that Jesus' body was torn open. Scars on his back, hanging there on the cross. Jesus' body being torn open is another symbol for in the temple where they had the curtain to enter into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, which only a select chosen few could go. As Jesus' body was torn open, the veil was torn open. It was a sign for God saying, now you can enter in. Through the blood, all can enter in. Through the blood, the most messy, the worst sinner, the most dangerous and the most beautiful person, all can come in through the blood. Jesus is the door. The curtain has been torn. You can enter into the presence of God. Man, I want to encourage you. In worship, where we have this time at church, like to come into the presence of God is a beautiful thing. But if you just stay in your mind and you never actually come in from the Spirit, if you just stay in your mind and you think about all the things that don't qualify you to stand in His presence, you're never going to enjoy the fruit of worship. True worship starts by entering in through the curtain of Jesus Christ, coming into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, where God sees you as spotless and righteous as you stand before Him. That's why we can lift our hands. That's why we can dance and sing and sometimes look ridiculous and just give it all to Him, because He's given it all to us. This is the doorway that we have into life. And even when you don't feel like it, even when you feel like you've stuffed up or you've fallen short, we still receive this invitation to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Can we have Orpili and Beck come up and join us? We'll just do that song again at the end. Would be wonderful. Let's make this practical this morning in closing. How can we do this? How can we actually apply this into our lives? Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise is a way into the presence of God. Taking your eyes off of yourselves and remembering the goodness of God in Christ Jesus, it will bring you into the presence of God. Every time, without a doubt, thanksgiving and praise, taking your eyes off yourself, putting them onto Christ, thankful for what He has done, will bring you into that place. There's some ways that I practice thankfulness where I try and practice that. Not just thankful, like I 100% agree. You know, thank you, God, that I get to live under a roof and have a comfy bed. And Lord, I thank you for my family, my friends, and for a job that can pay the bills. And like, yes, I'm thankful for that. But there's something that happens when you even switch gears further and you become thankful for who He is in this moment. I try and practice this while I'm walking outside on the grass and I feel the earth beneath my feet. I say, God, I thank you that you formed the earth for us to walk on. I thank you, God, that you created nature and you display your glory in the midst of nature. As I breathe in fresh air and I feel that wind rush past, I remember when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Spirit. I remember Acts 2 when the winds of the Holy Spirit came rushing in and I breathe in fresh air and I say, I thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit within me. Lord, come and rush like a mighty wind in my life. As the sun hits my head, I say, I thank you, Jesus, that you ascended into heaven and you are seated in heavenly places, and I in you are seated as well. And just let these little things become triggers for you. As simple as washing the dishes, which I don't do enough. This is why I don't like dishwashers. No, I really want a dishwasher. Please, Lord, I'd love a dishwasher. But when I'm washing the dishes with my hands, I'm washing them going, Lord, I know it's corny, man, but it's real and it takes you into the presence of God. If you want it, you can get it. Lord, I thank you that you have washed me free from sin. I thank you for your blood that covers me. I have nothing that I need to worry about because I remain under the blood. and nothing can touch me there. Little things that can trigger you into the presence of God. And the way I remember it is with three A's. This is the algorithm to living an ascended life. If we put up the three A's: attitude, altitude, atmosphere. This is how I remember it. Gratitude shifts your attitude. If you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling down in the dumps, practicing gratitude in that moment will shift your attitude, and it will take you into a realization that you are above your problems. You go to a higher altitude. From that higher altitude, seated with Christ in heavenly places, you start to see your problems different. Sometimes we feel like we're in a maze in life, but an eagle flying over doesn't see a wall in front of them, they see an exit and a way out. When you practice gratitude and you see yourself seated with Christ, you see your problems differently. And from that place, one with Christ, you can speak over your situation and change the atmosphere and release heaven on earth, declaring the goodness of God, declaring a change in the situation, declaring blessing over your enemies because you see things from a higher place. The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength and they will mount up on wings like eagles. That word wait upon the Lord does not literally mean to sit down and do nothing and soak in your sorrows. It means to entangle yourself in. Those who wait upon, those who hope in, those who entangle themselves in Yahweh, He will renew their strength. They will mount up. Guys, gratitude shifts your attitude, takes you to a higher altitude where you can speak over your problems and see the atmosphere change. But Jesus is the doorway where we can enter in. This morning, I want you to close your eyes with me, and I'd love for you guys just to play something. And instead of having an altar call and stuff like that, if you feel like you need prayer later on, please feel free to come up. Our pastoral team would love to stand with you in prayer. But right now, I just want us to practice gratitude for a minute or two. As these guys sing this song in closing, I want you to start to just whisper underneath your breath. There's something powerful about just saying it out loud, just whispering it underneath your breath. Start to become thankful for the goodness of God, that He prepares a table before you to feast as your enemies watch, where you can sit and dine with Him, that He leads you through the darkest valleys, that His grace is efficient for you, that His blood is enough, potent enough to wash away all sin. I want you to start to whisper and become grateful and see this taking place in your life this morning. Amen. All right, let's do it. Thanks, team. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come into this place of gratitude today. Lord, we thank you for your body and your blood. I thank you, Lord, for every stripe that you took on your back so that we could enter in. Lord, I thank you that if there be anyone here today that needs freedom from any addiction or any sin, Lord, I thank you that your blood is strong enough to set them free. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence in this room this morning. I thank you for your Spirit that is with us and near to us, not just because we sit in a church building, but Lord, because we are the church building. Lord, that you would abide in us. I thank you, God, that we can draw near. Lord, we thank you for vision. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for life and righteousness. We thank you for a church family that we get to fellowship with. I thank you for joy that becomes our strength. I thank you for peace in the midst of chaos. We praise you, Lord. I thank you for your healing. Jesus, we also thank you for who you are. We love you so much. Help us to live a life that honors you. We give you this day with many thanks and much praise. We love you, God. Amen. 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 this morning, go and shine a light. This week, go and shine a light. Be grateful. Don't be a negative Nelly. Put a smile on your face. Step into Christ and rise above. Live an ascended life. We love you, family. If you need prayer, feel free to come forward this morning. We've got tea and coffee down the back. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.